Can we talk for just a few minutes? I want you to imagine us, just you and me, sitting in a diner, having a private conversation. Because I know there's many of you that have faced the same things that we've faced, just in different ways. But we all seem to face times in life that we just struggle. This week has been a hard week just because I've been trying to figure out the best way to approach a very difficult subject. A lot of people struggle in depression. A lot of people have times where they just don't know what to do and what to say and how to feel. I kind of break up depression almost three ways. One, you know, if you have a crisis in your life, sometimes that can cause depression. Sometimes there's times where it's just chronic, and some of you struggle with just chronic depression, where it seems like it's just always there. And then there's even a chemical type of depression, where there's some brain things that are just happening, and the only way that you can really face it is through medications and things like that. But what I want to tell you this morning is not an easy thing, because I don't have a magic pill to give you. I don't have a shot for depression. I wish I did. I wish there was some way that I could just magically touch people in some way that says, you no longer will ever have depression in your life. But I don't have that. I have to admit, there was a time in my life where, you know, I struggled with people that struggled with depression. Because I thought it was just a weakness. I thought it was just a personality thing, that some people just struggled with it more than others. And then I realized through many different situations that I was wrong in that. But there's a lot of reasons people struggle with depression. And there is some truth that some people can maybe deal with it easier than others. But what I want to say today is I want to just encourage you. If you're struggling in that way, if you've got some things in your life that you don't understand, know that there are people that are going through some of the same feelings that you're feeling. Look at these two quotes. Let me begin with these. One from C.S. Lewis, actually. C.S. Lewis says this, "Mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain," but don't stop there. "But it is more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It's easier to say, my tooth is aching, than to say, my heart is broken." Why is that? I think part of it is because we don't deal with depression. We don't talk about it. It's, even in the church, in a place where we're supposed to feel safe to talk about anything, we don't talk about it. Another quote that even describes it better is this from Elizabeth Gilbert. She says, "When you're lost in these woods, it sometimes takes you a while to realize that you're lost. For the longest time, you can convince yourself that you've just wandered off the path, that you'll find your way back to the trailhead any moment now. And then night falls again and again, and you still have no idea where you are. And it's time to admit that you've bewildered yourself. If so far off the path that you don't even know from which direction the sun rises anymore." Have you felt that? Have you gone through that? Have you been through, like we were talking about, and I appreciate Ripple of Light putting this video together because it shows what you go through. There's times where you're angry. There's times where you go through frustrations with God. There was a guy named Moses that dealt with that. If you have your Bibles or your phones or iPads, whatever, turn to Psalm 90, because that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning. Just think for a minute about Moses' life. I really believe Moses struggled with depression, and most people believe he wrote this psalm. And as you go through this psalm, you see Moses at the beginning is really struggling. And it seems like he's angry and he's mad at God and he's frustrated trying to figure out, how do I get out of this feelings that I've got? But as he goes through this chapter, you begin to see him kind of changing a little bit. He doesn't get completely out of it. But what does happen is he begins to recognize God. And I believe through this chapter, I hope that it will encourage you. I hope that it will show you that there's things that we need to acknowledge about God when we're feeling these things, when we're going through these times of anger and depression. Go back to this chapter. Look at what Moses went through in his life. I mean, he started out being abandoned by his parents, growing up in a very rich neighborhood, and then having to leave that rich life because he got frustrated. Then he kind of hung around with a bunch of negative people for a while. You can see why Moses would have something to be depressed about. But as you go through this chapter, again, you see Moses acknowledging some things that helped him kind of work his way through whatever the issues were that he was facing. So let's take a look at this chapter, Psalms chapter 90, starting verse 1. He says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." You see, I think the first thing that we need to acknowledge is we need to acknowledge God's presence in our lives. That God is there. A lot of times in depression, we tend to just become focused so much on those things that are affecting us that God seems far away. That God seems like it's just, he's not there. But I think one of the first things that we can do is we can acknowledge that God's presence is in our lives. If we'll look around a little bit, if we'll begin to get outside of ourselves, if we'll just look up. I realize that's easier said than done. I realize that when you're struggling, the last thing you want to hear from people. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with someone else that's struggling with depression, you can't say things like, "Just feel better, you'll be all right." It doesn't work that way. But one of the things that I think can be helpful is if we'll acknowledge God's presence, not only in our lives, but in their lives, and maybe by saying, you know, God is here with us. Moses says, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place forever. You are God." And maybe that will help us kind of move from a place of struggling to maybe a little bit to a place of saying God's there with us. Let's keep reading. He says, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered.'" I believe the second thing that we really need to do is we need to acknowledge God's participation in our lives. I can think back a lot to times in my life where I really wondered where God was. Some of you know my story has been, actually our family story, has been very fraught with danger and things that have happened. I can go to my dad who got lost in the Florida Everglades for 3 days. I can go to my story where I was blown up in a truck and spent 15 days in a burn center. And we can talk about, you know, Joshua and his situation with a broken ankle that took out his football career. And we can talk about Janae and her situation. Doesn't make you want to grow up in our family, does it? But one of the things through all of those things, we saw God's participation in that. We've all had opportunities to share those things with people through a testimony. We've been able to say, man, that was a rough time in our life. And there was a time where I wasn't happy. But later on, some things changed that allow us to look back and, you know, say, God, you were there. And a lot of times that's hard to see when you're in the middle of it. So I want to encourage you by saying, if you're in a rough time right now, just hold on just for a little while. Because at one point you're going to be able to look back and you're going to be able to say, God was right there. God was right there. I was thinking about one of those times in the ER with Janae. And this, it's probably unpolitically correct, but a homeless guy walks in. And he comes in and he sits across from us. We were out in the waiting room and we had been there a while. And Janae was very obviously in pain and crying. And he sat down across from us. And I'm thinking, oh, this guy's just going to, he's going to ask us for money or something. And he looks straight at Janae and he goes, so what's wrong with you? And I kind of look at Janae and I was about ready to say, hey, listen, you know, she's in pain. Let us deal with this. And Janae spoke up and told him what was going on. And he started rummaging through his stuff and pulled out looked like a baseball card is what it looked like. And he came up to her and he handed her this card. And he said, I've had this a long time in my life, but I think you need it more right now. And all it was a card with the 23rd Psalm on it and a picture of Jesus on the front. And he had gotten it some mission somewhere, and he handed it to her. And then he started praying over her. And we just sat there watching this surreal scene. And as soon as he said his amen, he grabbed his bag and walked out the door. And I kind of looked at Janae and I said, you think that guy was an angel? In all our judgmental ways, a lot of times, we miss God. And I think we have to look back. Sometimes we can't see him in the middle of it, but we can look back and maybe see God in situations like that. Let's keep reading. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. Moses had a lot of secret sins, right? He had a lot of things that he struggled with, from murder to all kinds of things. And he probably carried that all of his life. And he had a lot of these secret sins that he's talking about. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think another thing we need to acknowledge about God is we need to acknowledge God's power in our lives. We forget about that. The creator of the universe, we have a relationship with. And he has the ability to take away whatever pain we're feeling. And we get angry and mad if he doesn't do that. If you've struggled through this, especially with a child, you know that you even ask God to take that pain and give it to you. But God doesn't work that way. I wish he did. I wish he would just answer whatever prayers we have, whatever it is that we ask him, he'd just give it to us. But if you're a parent, you know what that's like. You know that you can't just give your kids everything they ask for. And it's only until later that we really see God's power at work. It's only when we recognize that God has the power, but he chooses, for whatever reason, to show it at just the right time. Janae's been able to speak in front of a lot of people about her struggle. She was able to speak at the chapel at Lubbock Christian not too long ago and share her story. And because of that, she was able to minister to a lot of people that struggled in pain, that struggled with depression, that struggled with a lot of different situations. And she was able to go, it's not my power, but it's God's power. Let's finish off the chapter. This sounds like us. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. I think the last thing that we need to acknowledge, and this is the hardest part to acknowledge, is we need to acknowledge God's peace in our lives. Because the things around us seem to take away our peace. The things that are happening in our lives take away our peace. And all we're looking for is just one simple way for God to say, God, give me peace. But the things that God gives us are so much more powerful sometimes than peace. It gives us an opportunity to share our lives. I appreciated Erica Pye sharing her story and what she went through. If you get a chance, get on Facebook and read that, because it's her testimony of what she went through with postpartum depression and things like that. And I'm looking forward to the continuing sagas that she's writing. Incredible writing. I asked her permission if I could share that. I'd encourage you to take a look at that, because it's a very dark time that she went through. In the same way that many of you have been through dark times, and sometimes the peace just doesn't seem to be there. Well, here's what I want to tell you. There are ways to get there, but it's just not going to happen immediately. It's not going to happen like we would like. In fact, let me just tell you real quickly. Here's three things that will help you get closer to that peace that you're looking for. The first thing is this. Welcome God daily in your life. Whatever you can do, just welcome God daily in your life. It's not that you've kicked him out of your life, but I think sometimes he seems far away when he's still right there, but there's just so much stuff piled up in front of him that we've got to remember every day when we wake up, we've got to welcome God into our lives daily. That can be done in a lot of different ways. You can do that just by beginning an easy prayer every time you wake up, saying, thank you, God, for giving me another day. Some of you start with Scripture. Maybe every day when you get up, instead of checking your email, pull up Bible Gateway or whatever you have and take a look at that every morning together and read that Scripture. Find a psalm and meditate on that the rest of the day. We've got to welcome God into our lives daily. That's a good beginning. The second thing is this. We've got to remember to worship God. And that can be done, again, in lots of different ways. But I think one of the things that happens when we're struggling with depression is we isolate ourselves from everybody else. And we isolate ourselves especially from the family of God. And so what we've got to do is we've got to learn that we need that worship time, not just individually, but also together. As you're reading, as you're meditating, focus on that idea. Focus on worshiping God. And eventually it will allow you to move beyond some of those things that you're struggling with. Again, we put those things in front of God sometimes. And we've got to just be in worship. And then the last thing, which is probably the hardest. This is the one I struggle with the most. As long as we welcome God, as long as we worship God, then the one that's hardest is we have to wait on God. I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting, especially when it's dealing with my family. One of my biggest struggles through this whole process was waiting. But it was only through that process that we were drawn closer together. I will never regret the process. I hated what we went through. And I wish I could just take the pain away. But the process brought us closer together in a way that we would never have otherwise. It wasn't too long ago that Janae posted these words, and this is what I want to close with today. She posted this on Facebook, and I thought this would be an appropriate way to share this. And I know that's little up there. You may not be able to see all of it, but I'm going to read it to you. So here's what she said. She started with the verse from Psalms. My health may fail and my spirit grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. As many of you know, I've been struggling with my health the past almost 5 years, and my occipital neuralgia specifically the past couple of months. We've been praying and praying for some answers or luck, and finally, a couple of weeks ago, I was able to get in touch with a pain management specialist in Lubbock. I had my first appointment this past Wednesday, and I'm happy to say it went very well. He's an incredible doctor who gives a new insight to my health problems and new approaches to getting it under control. He doesn't prescribe pain medication. He only does injections and procedures. We weren't expecting anything to be done on Wednesday, but to my surprise, he was able to do 2 injections. I will admit I was a little cautious about doing these again. Last time I had it done, it made my pain worse and it was unbearable. Granted, I was also 19 at the time and had a much lower pain tolerance. So it was safe to say I was really nervous, especially since I was by myself. I'd always had one or both of my parents with me during procedures or treatment. He injected a steroid solution into my occipital nerves in the back of my head. It was interesting because he stuck the needle, a huge, giant needle, right above my neck on both sides of my head and my scalp and had to move the needle around until he hit the nerve. And then he injected the solution right into it. It was the weirdest feeling because not only could I feel it go up my scalp, I could hear it. It's definitely the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my many medical procedures over the years. So to end this novel of a Facebook post, let's just say it worked. Not only is my pain 90% gone in my head, my arms and legs feel so much better as well. I told my mom and dad I wasn't sure if there was still pain or if my body just doesn't know what it's like not to feel pain, so it's almost uncomfortable. My head is still pretty sore from the actual injection, but I can tell it's not the usual nerve, pins and needles type of pain. Who knows how long this will last, but for now I'm soaking up every second of being almost pain-free. I don't think I'll ever be completely pain-free, but to wake up feeling good and no pain in my legs, wow, it's an incredible feeling, you guys. So if you're still reading, thank you for all of your prayers and kind words and for sticking with me all these years. I'm so blessed to know each one of you, and you'll never know how incredibly thankful I am for everything you've all done. Keep praying that these injections will work and that it's possibly could have a permanent effect. No matter where my health is at, I know I can find my strength through Christ. While it's been hard to believe that at times, while I've had my doubts, I do know God has my back. I finally got some hope for the future. I don't like waiting on God. But to be able to read those words and to say, God's got my back. If she can do that, then I can do that. My hope today was to encourage you, to let you know that God does answer prayers and that depression is not an easy thing to deal with. I've struggled with it just in the last few years and have never struggled with it before. At least I didn't think I did. But I do know it's one of those things that God is there, that He wants to help you with that, and He wants to make a difference in your life. We have an opportunity to be a family of God together. As I said at the beginning, let's just talk, you and me. It's not easy to go through this. And it helps to have somebody else to pray with you and to talk with you. I'd like to ask our elders, if they would, that'll be standing up here, if the ones will come up here, go ahead and stand up here, and there'll be some in the back. If you guys would go ahead and come on up so you can see where they're going to be. And we'll have some in the back there that you can pray with. If you have any of these things that you want to deal, that you just need somebody to talk to and to pray with, and go through that struggle with. I also want to encourage you to be here during our worship time. We're going to have, or during the Bible class time, we're going to have a workshop in here with some professionals that can help us navigate through the specifics of depression. But if you've struggled and you haven't really figured out how to get through it, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. And I would encourage you, if you're not a Christian, man, one of the best ways to get through depression is in that relationship with God. And we can help you with that. You can be baptized into Christ and put all that stuff behind you. It doesn't mean it'll be perfect and that the pain will immediately go away, but it'll be a good beginning. Let us help you. If there's anything you need, talk to any of these men. Otis, let's stand and sing.